B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
That it kind of creates that energy within the facility, within the stadium.
That's not bad. That's pretty good there. Good knowledge by you. So to get some more on to get some more on what's been going on with the Eagles, because like we've been saying, we haven't been able to see an awful lot. But you know who has, and that's Zach Berman. Zach, you're on 97.5. How are you today, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you. Outstanding work with The Athletic, of course. We read you all the time. And we were talking today, Zach. Jamie was down there yesterday at practice.
Yeah, I missed you, Zach.
Man, I wish I saw you.
Yeah, I went with the combo Swedish fish blue raspberry water ice, in case you were wondering.
There you go. Good call.
I would say, I'll bet you Zach stays away from the water ice for the most
probably.
Part.
Probably. He's a professional. I'm a radio
right?
guy.
Am I right on that, Zach?
Yeah, well most of practices are also at like 9:15 a.m. So
true.
If you're going in for water ice at like 9:30 a.m., that's probably a bad thing.
Hey, we eat pizza here at 7:30, so we're the wrong group to be talking to about that. But, Zach, as I said, we haven't been able to see an awful lot of what's going on, but especially the last 2 days, you were able to see Carson Wentz, the offense, go against an upper echelon defense. And just what are your thoughts coming out of there? How did they look to you? And maybe what did you learn that you didn't know with them going against a different unit?
Yeah, so on Monday, 2 days ago, I was really impressed by Baltimore's defense. You know, I thought they gave Carson and the offense a hard time. I thought they were real physical, and that was something that helped the receivers. I thought the ball was on the ground a little more than probably the Eagles wanted that day. I also thought Carson made some really high-level throws, hit Alshon Jeffrey on a deep pass on Monday, had a great pass to Mac Hollins yesterday that Hollins should have brought in. And 7-on-7s, Carson hit Alshon in the back corner of the end zone. Great ball placement, great touch. So you're seeing a lot of good signs. I think, frankly, what the Eagles had the past 2 days is more valuable than what any preseason game could have been for Carson. Outside of the fact that he wasn't getting hit, they were able to do a lot of different situations. Stuff that you can't necessarily simulate in a game. And I thought this was going to be a real good week for the offense. I don't think this week was as helpful for the defense. The reason being, Baltimore's offense is a little unconventional. And I don't know if what they saw these past few days is going to really get them ready for some of the teams they're going to see on the schedule. That being said, playing against that offensive line, playing against that running game, seeing some of the run fits, that could potentially help the front seven.
Getting back to Carson real quick, Zach, Jamie was saying, and I think Doug Peterson alluded to it also yesterday, that they're keeping him in the pocket mostly. He's not getting outside. He's not doing different things. And part of the reasoning is because he's making quicker reads. A, do you think it's a concentrated effort? And B, do you see progression from him as far as making quicker reads while he's in the pocket?
I don't think it's a conscious decision on his part. I do think he is making quicker reads this fourth year in the offense. My personal opinion is that the Eagles shouldn't neuter Carson Wentz, so to speak, shouldn't take away that part of his game. Well, I think what makes him special is the ability to improvise, is playing off schedule. If you think back to 2017, a lot of the best plays he made were off-schedule plays, third and longs, where he was able to extend the drive because of that ability. And if you're kind of keeping him confined in the pocket, I don't think you're getting the full Carson Wentz experience. I think that would be a problem for the Eagles. The function of a training camp practice is that you know where the ball's going every play. You're trying to work on different things, and there's not a pass rush that's bringing you to the ground, so the quarterback's not going to move as much as he will in games. I'm real curious to see come September if this is the way Carson plays, if there's any change because of the injuries. If there is, I don't think that would be a good thing for the Eagles.
Yeah, Zach, so one of the other things that stood out to me yesterday was the play of the secondary. I think Avante dropped a pass. I think Ronald Darby dropped an interception. But the guys were in right positions. Darby kind of looked explosive to me for a guy coming off of a knee injury. And then Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, and Avante Maddox continue to show up. How's this going to shake out? You know, I think I've asked you before who your starters are going to be week one versus Washington. Has that changed at all over the last week or two? Because all three of those young guys seem to be stepping up.
Yeah, I've asked Corey Unland, the defensive backs coach, a few times, and he keeps telling me they don't have to make a decision yet. But time's coming up for when they are going to have to make a decision.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a tough one.
It's going to be fascinating to see because one of those guys is going to be pretty disappointed. Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas have both had good summers. Both have been on the field every day. And I think one of them is not going to start on the outside because the way it's looking, Darby's going to be back for week one. Perhaps they slow play Darby and they kind of avoid that problem for a week. But the way it looks now, they're going to have a tough decision to make. In Darby's case, by the way, he's running at 22 miles per hour, which is 1 mile per hour less than kind of his max speed almost. So he's getting close. He's almost there. He needs to kind of shed that bulky brace at some point. It doesn't look like him out there.
Yeah, but he looked pretty good.
For the most part, I've been impressed with the way he's moving. But Jones and Douglas have been on the field every day, and it's going to be tough to look one of them in the eye and tell them they're not starting when they've done everything that this coaching staff has wanted them to do this summer.
So, Zach, is there anything that we can look to tomorrow night? I mean, I think the defensive end, the backup defensive ends are competing tomorrow night. Maybe you're looking at the linebacker spot to see who steps up there. But what do you concentrate on tomorrow night if you're a fan just you know, trying to glean something for the regular season?
Yeah, so I still think they're going to play these top running backs. I don't know how long, but they played Miles Sanders – And they played Jordan Howard in both preseason games, and I would guess they give them some time again on Thursday. So those guys especially, and I hear from fantasy football players all the time about how much work Miles Sanders is going to get. I think people are going to be impressed the more and more they see Sanders. Outside of that, I would guess the defense plays more than the offense, that you're going to see some from the starting unit. But I think you hit it on the head there, Bob. Linebacker is a big question because they have some injury concerns there. They have kind of an ambiguous depth chart. And who's going to step up, whether it's Nate Gary, Zach Brown, LJ Fort, TJ Edwards? I think that's a really interesting position. And if there's a spot going into the season that's uncertain, especially with Nigel Bradham's injury and Kamu-Gurashvili Hill banged up, that's one that's still uncertain.
Yeah, and Zach, another one I'll be watching on Thursday night is the battle between, I guess, Josh Sweat and Deshaun Hall. I think Deshaun's been probably one of the very bright spots of the early training camp and the two games. Is that a battle that is still up for grabs, or do you think that Deshaun has clearly kind of won that fourth defensive end job?
I think Deshaun Hall's played well enough to win it, and if they go based on what they've seen in practice and in the games, it should be Hall, and this isn't like an unknown player. I mean, he was a third-round pick back in 2017 by Carolina. Just couldn't hang on there. Was in some 3-4 schemes.
Yeah, they tried to play him at linebacker a little bit, and that wasn't working out.
So he's put on 30 pounds. So he's a different player than he was when the Eagles signed him last December. And I think he's the frontrunner, obviously, to be that guy. There's still two preseason games. They would love if someone like Josh Sweat, who they drafted in the fourth round, stands out. But if you go based on what you've seen so far, it would need to be Deshaun Hall.
Yeah, let's talk about the backup offensive linemen, because I think most teams around the league keep eight. We know who our five locked up are. Are there any position battles on, like, is Matt Pryor on the bubble? Do you think Wiz has a spot locked up? I would think Maialata does, and obviously Andre Dillard does. Well, who do you think that eighth kind of bubble offensive lineman is going to be?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep as many as 10, to be honest with you.
Really?
And, I mean, they've really invested in young developmental offensive linemen here. They have Brandon Brooks coming off injury. Jason Peters is, you know, obviously an older player who's been banged up. I think they go deep on the offensive line. I mean, you're already looking at it. Andre Dillard's going to be on the team. Jordan Mailata's going to be on the team.
Yeah.
Halapula Vati Vaitai, unless they trade him, is going to be on the team. So you have eight right there. Then I still think they're going to keep Matt Pryor.
Do you? Stephen okay.
Nusi's a really interesting one. He was your starter in the Super Bowl going into this offseason, going into training camp. I thought he was going to be on the team. Hasn't played as well at Mm-mm. center. Has moved from center to almost exclusively right guard this week. And if you're confident Vaitai can be your backup guard, and if Isaac Seumalo is going to be your backup center or something happens to Kelsey, that gives you the flexibility to keep one of your younger players, whether it's an undrafted guy like Nate Herbig, Sua Opeta, whether it's Brett Toth, who they signed this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's some possibilities there, but my guess is they go deep on the offensive line. That's the position where you want guys to develop.
And so you say Wesnewski has moved from center to right guard?
Center to right guard this past week. Yeah,
okay.
Or left guard. He's definitely at guard this week. He had struggled with snaps earlier mm-hmm. In camp in the preseason games. They're playing Nate Herbig as their backup center, and they have moved Wisniewski over to guard.
That's okay. Probably not a good sign for him.
No, not because I mean, you know,
he didn't start a guard in the Super Bowl.
Big V getting the right guard reps,
his value to the team was as kind of your swing guard
mm-hmm.
and swing guard center. You're in interior lineman, and if he's not going to be your backup center, it takes a lot of his value away.
So then, so that starting group then was Dillard and then Wisniewski at left guard instead of Matt Pryor?
Well, the starting group had Seumalo at left guard. Wisniewski's been with the second team.
So with the second team. So it was Dillard.
They've had Vaitai at right guard.
Okay, so with the second group, you had Dillard, Wisniewski, and then you had someone else at right guard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the second group of Wisniewski had been the second team center, mm-hmm. and he's been a second team guard
now.
Group.
Okay.
Right. Is it too late to bring in some kicking competition for Jake Elliott's act? Because from what I saw of Carly Lloyd yesterday, I'm thinking of giving her a little tryout.
Yeah, that's Del Rand's finest, right? that was an impressive kick.
And there are
a lot of teams that are looking for people who can kick a 51-yard field goal. The Eagles aren't one of them.
Yeah. So, Zach, how many wide receivers do you think they end up keeping?
I think they keep five. You can push for six if you wanted to keep Greg Ward or Mark and Michelle or Carlton Agadazi on the roster. Frankly, Matt Collins, I don't think has done enough based on the way he's played to be then in that spot. But the Eagles like him. He can contribute on special teams, and he has shown potential in the past. So I still think he's going to be your fifth wide receiver, and I think the Eagles go deeper at some other spots. Tight end's going to be real interesting here. Richard Rodgers' injury kind of complicates it. Could move Joshua Perkins up the depth chart there, or they could look elsewhere for a third tight end.
Yeah, I got to tell you, seeing Agadosi live and in pads, I was like, damn, this dude is
big kid.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Yeah, he makes a play a day. He makes a play every day.
Yeah, and he's physically impressive. It's going to be interesting to see who they keep there at the back end, because I don't think Matt Collins' job is safe, but, you know, they have fourth-round capital invested in him. We'll see.
Exactly, and they were really high on him going into last year. The injury really made it just a lost year. But when you talk to the people at the Eagles, they're still confident in Matt Collins, from what I understand.
It seems like any cuts that they make are going to be really good competitions. You know, it's not like you're cutting guy. Oh, we're keeping him because you're getting rid of him. It seems like that. Like there's really good competition all over this roster.
You're absolutely right, Bob, and you see it every year. Like, you know, people tend to overrate their own team, and when guys are cut, they're not picked up, and that kind of shows what the league thinks of your team. This year, when the Eagles have cut guys during camp, and you're talking like their 88th, 89th, 90th guys, mm-hmm. they're picked up elsewhere, and they're contributing elsewhere. It really shows the strength of this roster overall, and I think when the Eagles make their cuts August 31st, there's going to be players who they can't get to practice squad because they're going to be claimed elsewhere. Once they hit the waiver wire, they're going to be signed. And I think for those last few spots, 50, 51, 52, 53, one of the things the Eagles are going to consider is who they think they can sneak past on the practice squad mm-hmm. and who they think is going to be claimed.
That's why Howie gets the big bucks, Zach, and that's why you got to keep following Zach Berman at The Athletic for all your Eagles news and action. And, Zach, I know you're looking forward to the regular season just like us. Training camp's coming to a close, so good luck for the rest of the season. We'll be reading you in The Athletic, and thanks for joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Much appreciated. So, yeah, it just keeps coming to me. Every time we talk to guys that are there every day, you know, the names that we're hearing, there's going to be some tough cuts coming up. And you're going to cut some good guys.
And not just cuts, too. Who's starting? You know, like that cornerback group, I'm fascinated by who's going to end up coming out the starters here. But, yeah, this is an incredibly deep team on paper.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be fun. Jay from Newtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Jay?
Hi, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to comment on the coaches wearing the clothing that they wear. The current coach of the New England Patriots, so I'm told by a friend of mine at work, would prefer to wear a suit and tie every day to work on, like, game days. However, like, corporations don't make suits like that with, like, marks on them, with logos and stuff. So that's why he looks like a bum, because he wears that stuff, because it's kind of like a front to the organization, the whole organization. And I had one more comment, too, about Gabe Kapler. I get it, because he looks at his notes and his numbers and he makes decisions, but, like, we're contending. So let's rock with them. We got like 30 more games. Let's go.
You have no other choice, right, Jay?
Let's
That's what we have to do. Thanks for the call. You have to rock with them because it's all you have. As far as Bill Belichick wants to wear a suit and tie,
I thought he was going like man boobs or something there. Like, I thought he was saying,
he can't fit him with a proper suit.
Yeah, I thought he was setting up for a joke there. I guess he's meaning that they wear the team logo, so it's like an ad for the. I
assume a coach can wear it. I don't think contractually he has to wear cut up hoodies on the sidelines.
He twisted my brain up there. I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I like the cut off hoodie though.
Yeah, it's
Mike Scott was rocking the cut off hoodie yesterday.
Yeah, when he came in with Anthony.
Yeah,
yeah, he was all over the place.
The cut off hoodies. Now I think Belichick's a fashionista. Now he said he knew trends.
Yeah,
nah, I'm not a fan.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's to the practice theory out all there that stuff to a game, I think a coach should kind of look a little
there's the theory out there that he wears those to cover up the chesticles.
That's what it is?
Yeah, that's the theory.
Huh.
Maybe just amongst my group of friends.
I was going to say, and where did that theory come from, James?
But yeah, he's got
seriously,
something.
Where did that theory come from?
I don't know. I've just talked about it with people. I mean, he's got man boobs.
What?
Okay. He's kind of, all right, he's... I don't know. How am I supposed to respond to that?
Check it out, man.
No, I'm okay.
Break it down.
It seems
so
like you're about to copy. Comment on it. What's on your mind?
I got nothing to say. Yeah, man boobs make me uncomfortable. Somebody else's man boobs make me uncomfortable. Mike in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. I just wanted to touch base on Malik Jackson. I haven't heard good or bad about him, so I was wondering if you could give me some info on that.
You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right.
I didn't get a great look at the D-line yesterday, personally. So I wish I could talk to him more, but I think he's been fine from everything I've heard. I haven't heard anything bad about
him. My thing is, especially in the interior defensive linemen, the more you don't hear, probably the better, unless they're dominating. I don't know.
And right now, they're in that practice where they're not trying to really kill the guys that they're going up against. I mean, not trying to fight against pressure. They're going along with the blocks and just, you know, just working their way through it. But I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with when the season starts, though.
Okay. So I had for today. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's almost like Malik Jackson was, like, forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Like it's the only time his name's brought up, it's lumped with Timmy Jernigan, and it's saying, and Fletcher Cox, like, these guys are going to be so good, they're going to make the ends better.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's it. You don't hear anything more.
Malik Jackson's motivated because he kind of had a bad season last year, and he wants to live up to his contract, and he's talked about it. So it could be a huge bounce back year for him. Him and Fletcher Cox is going to be... It's going to be nice.
And the fact that, you know, Timmy Jernigan is
your backup, your rotation.
I mean, and you heard what he said during the season.
Scott Muffin.
People doubted me. Well, I'll show him. Remember when he came into OTAs? I'll show. You'll see. Mm-hmm. You'll see what I'm all about.
It was funny. Yesterday, there was a special teams, like, little scuffle. Like, two guys were blocking each other. And, you know,
a kerfuffle?
A kerfuffle, if you will.
Yeah. Okay.
And they were engaged with each other, and it was the... You let go. No, you let go. Oh, I'm going to push you. And it was like teetering on like an after the play scrum. And they broke it up. But the first guy off the Eagles bench, ready for some action? Stud Muffin.
Stud Muffin, ready for action.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had his jersey rolled up, the belly out, and he was ready for action.
Florida State guy, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? First off the bench.
Was his helmet already on, or did he throw it on?
He had his helmet on, as far as I can tell.
Oh, yeah. He's a veteran to this. He throw the helmet on.
You damn straight throw the helmet on.
You don't run into a fight without a helmet.
Yeah. No. No.
Stud Muffin was ready.
Yeah. All right. Good on him.
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. First guy off the bench. Yeah, in some sports that gets you ejected, but
in training camp football, he realized nothing was going on, and he just kind of gingerly strolled back to the sidelines, like do 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 do.
Yeah, it was like oh you want some? Okay, all right.
Yeah, because you want some of this, I'm right here. Yeah.
So when they were in their little kerfuffle yesterday, was it shoulder pads to shoulder pads, or did anybody go
just
up and reach for the helmet?
I think they each had each other's face mask.
Did they grab the face mask?
It was like the push and the pull.
Yeah, push pull. It looked like two Rams. Yeah.
Let me go, bro. You let me go.
You go first. You let me go first. You let me go first.
Yeah. I held you longer. Let's go.
Let's go get something to drink. Yeah.
It's hot, man. Come on. I'm not sitting there breathing each other's face.
You just,
It was way too hot for any of that stuff yesterday.
Trey, you ever go up against a DN that had just like terrible stank breath?
I don't know. I kind of tried to keep him at bay.
He never knew. Unlike a defender in, what was the movie? Why am I the basketball movie where he says I want you to be able to smell his gum?
Yeah.
Titanic.
Titanic.
He's such an idiot. Rwanda.
If I was Jason Kelsey, I wouldn't like brush my teeth like Friday through Monday. I'd just have some stank breath.
Yeah,
breathe all over those D tackles.
Hoosiers. That's what I'm thinking of. Hoosiers. Yeah, Trey had the stick of Big Red.
Big Red. Yeah,
Trey might eat more gum than anyone I've ever seen.
Yeah, I chew a lot of gum.
He goes through a couple packs a day, pretty much.
Yeah, I chew a lot of gum. Yeah.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
You buy it in bulk?
Yes.
Smart move.
Yes, I do.
So, Jamie, anybody else really stick out to you? Maybe not a common name. You know, everybody that somebody's looking at. Maybe you said that you passed. Who did you pass yesterday? That you were like, whoa,
Agudosi.
That's right.
Looked like a monster.
6'6" wide receiver.
Yeah.
Was there anybody that kind of stuck out or anything that stuck out to you yesterday?
Jordan Howard's speed kind of stood out to me. He looked a couple times. Now it's tougher to tell when the defenders let him go. Maybe they look a little faster.
Yeah.
But he looked fairly quick to me. I still think he's going to serve a really nice role in this team. The Miles Sanders hype train is there, and rightfully so, and all that. But I still think people are sleeping on Jordan Howard a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to serve a real role on this squad.
Because, I mean, this is only his fourth year. I mean, he still has a little bounce in his step.
And he's playing for a contract.
Yeah, you know, and he's not a big back like Blunt.
No.
Where he's like one of those big pounders. He still has a little cut to him.
Yeah.
So he looked good to me.
I thought it was interesting that Zach said that the running back position, he thinks that you're going to see pretty much everybody tomorrow night.
Yeah, and they were working Corey Clement in a lot.
Yeah. I'm anxious to see him tomorrow night.
So I'm curious what role they have for him in mind. They had Darren Sproles set outside wide in the slot position a couple times, so you might see a couple of those looks. I wish Goddard was out there, not that they would show a lot. I'm curious how much 12 personnel they run this year.
I can't wait. I'm kind of glad that he shut down so nobody sees it, but I can't wait to see that during the regular season,
I just can't wait for the first week. Tomorrow night will be okay. You still get a look at some guys.
It won't.
Then that fourth week, man, that becomes the longest 2 weeks ever.
It does.
We get here every Wednesday. We're like, all right, we're going to see a little something. And then 7 minutes into the game, you're like, man, this sucks.
And it's the worst for me because my wife has class Thursday night, so I get the baby. So I get to watch like 15 minutes live, and then I have to record the rest and come back. And then it's worse for him, Trey. I'm fast-forwarding through it, and I'm like, all right, now I don't care anymore.
Trey's going to be home all alone watching it.
Oh, no, I'm going down to Florida.
When are you hit? Tomorrow?
At the Fan Fest.
Yeah, but tomorrow night you can watch
the game. I might go to the game.
Oh, you might go down to the game?
I might go to the game.
Oh, you can do preseason games, you just can't do training camp.
Yeah, I don't do training camp.
Nah.
I tried to get him down yesterday.
Yeah, no.
I knew to give that fight up early.
Yeah, no.
I saw it in his eyes.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll throw a punch at me if you ask me.
He might throw a punch. He might throw a punch.
He was like, tell everyone I said hello.
Yeah.
It was hot yesterday, man. The heat index was over 90, man.
That was bad.
Hey, man, we got some Popeyes after.
I'm glad you didn't go out golfing yesterday, because that's no fun golfing in that weather.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I golf in any weather. You know, I like it. You know, I don't mind. Sweating, just yesterday I sat around the crib and just kind of did some stuff, you know, just chilled at the house for a little
nothing
bit.
Wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. All right, well, time into Fanatic is 9:24 and it's
Farsetta and Trey in the morning. 107.5 The Fanatic.
Happy hump day.
Happy hump day. Trey's favorite day of the week, which is fun. Just a reminder, 8 a.m. hour was brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com.
Speaking of hump day, it's the 30th anniversary of Saved by the Bell.
Is it really?
Yeah, Kelly Kapowski.
I was going to say, okay, tie that into hump day.
Kelly Kapowski. She was gorgeous. Number one, forever in my heart, always.
Yeah?
She was...
Number one?
What's her real name? Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Yeah. Damn right she, it is.
Yeah. And I got really upset because they're doing this... All right, this is bad, but...
Uh-oh.
They're doing this reboot of 90210, Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, I saw it's out. Yeah.
Well,
are you watching that?
It's been on in the house. I'm not the one driving it,
Sure you are.
So she was on that. Yeah, so she was on that show for 6 years.
Like, too young for Jenna.
No, Donna's watching it, yeah. And
you're putting up a fight there, Bobby.
I'm all right with it. I was hoping Tiffany Amber Thiessen was coming back to it, but she's contractually obligated to another show right now, so she's not on it.
It's like Jerry when he secretly loves Melrose Place in Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah.
And they put him on the lie detector test, and he's doing well. And then they ask him a storyline, and he finally breaks. And I don't even know the character's names, but he's like, it's so-and-so should have been with him in the first place. And he gets up and he storms out. That's Bobby with 90210.
Well, it's funny when you go out. I wasn't a huge 90210
guy
when
you
I was.
Are.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, I knew the characters. You know,
I never
so
got
popular.
I was more of a Dawson's Creek guy.
Oh, yeah, I never watched Dawson's Creek.
Oh, Joey. And she just broke up with Jamie Foxx.
No.
6 years down the tube.
Oh, man. Is Jamie all right?
I'm sure Jamie will be fine.
Okay.
I'm more worried about Katie Holmes.
Yeah, so the Katie Holmes has had it tough.
Well,
Tom Cruise
is a lunatic, so yeah. That probably wasn't a good start. Jamie Foxx seems pretty cool.
Tom Cruise is a lunatic. Jamie Foxx might be along with Justin Timberlake, most talented all-around people of
Hollywood
right now,
totally.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
It's like them and Carrot Top.
Totally.
You are such an idiot. Oh, my God. So Aaron Nola, great outing last night for the Phillies.
You don't want to talk more about Timothy and Mathieson?
Sure. I mean,
who did you have? Lisa Turtle? Jesse? Or Kelly Kapowski?
Kelly Kapowski out of that group.
A lot of people went Jesse.
I was with Jesse until she had the caffeine pill addiction.
Yeah.
And then that was a tough episode.
Don't sleep on Lisa Turtle now either.
She's going with a caffeine addiction.
No. Her first name was Voorhees.
Yeah.
Or her last name.
Lark Voorhees?
Her last name was
Voorhees. She's going through some stuff. Lisa Turtle.
She was real religious and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah,
I think
she's got schizophrenia. And she's,
oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm serious. Like, she's going down a bad road.
No, wow. That's a shame.
Jeez, poor Lisa Turtle.
So who is Kelly Kapowski's competition as far as other shows, though?
Topanga.
Yeah, well, see, my generation.
Yeah, no, I go, Topanga.
That was my generation's.
Yeah.
Like, Jamie was right before me, so that was Kelly Kapowski. My generation was Topanga.
So Topanga or Kelly Kapowski?
I go Topanga.
What are we talking about right now? I kind of lost interest
Trey.
5 minutes ago. What are we talking about here?
90s.
Trey, you bring up hump day, so we're talking about hump day.
All right, yeah, I kind of blacked out a little bit. Yeah, I just came to
Kelly Kapowski?
I don't know.
Saved by the Bell?
No, I don't.
Hot looking girl of TV shows that you used to watch?
I don't know.
Did you watch much TV when you were young?
No.
He was out in the woods. He said it before.
Running through the woods,
man. He was running through the woods and swimming in fresh water.
I was falling in love with 90s sitcom stars.
Apparently, Topanga was caught at McFadden's making out with a chick.
Are McFadden's?
Yeah. I swear to God. Look it up. If you don't believe me.
Look it up. Okay. Jamie's right on it. I got it. You know who turned it? Did you see The Wonder Years? Were you part of that?
Oh,
no.
Danica McKellar.
She's still Danica McKellar. She was too young when it first started, but then once that show got over.
Yeah, she's like a math whiz. She writes like math books for kids.
Oh, that's right. I did know that.
I'll learn math for that.
All right.
There's a photo of Topanga kissing a girl.
Really?
Apology now?
At McFadden's in Philadelphia?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are we sure it's Topanga?
Bob, can I get an apology now?
No, I didn't.
You brushed me off. You brushed that Topanga knowledge off. I don't appreciate it.
I brushed you off for a lot less than Topanga kissing a girl.
Caller makes
sure.
a point.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. So, Jamie, you said it yesterday, or that the Phillies were going to go up to Boston, sweep two from Boston. What? Go ahead. What do you got from Topanga?
No, nothing. No, I just know the Phillies are going to do this. Like,
do you still have Topanga up there?
I just closed it down.
Oh, can you open it back up? Because I wanted you to give your Philly thoughts, and I was going to run over there and see if it's really her.
No, I think it's. I think it's totally going to happen. They're going to win
tonight. They're going to win tonight.
They're going to win an ugly one. It's going to be like 7-6.
Then you have a Thursday off.
Yeah, and then you're going to lose 2 or 3 to the Marlins.
Nope. Don't stay on fire, baby.
See that? So they win tonight. That's 6 of 8.
It doesn't feel like it.
It's 6 of 8. No matter how you slice it, it's 6 of 8. You take 2 of 3. Now you're getting on that run of the 13 out of 20 that we said they needed, or 14 out of 20 that they needed in order to really make a run for this wild card. They're right there, James. As much as you want to deny, me and Trey are on board.
Oh, yeah? You never wavered? You're on board? I'm on board, too.
I'm there.
They're going to lose 2 or 3 to the Marlins. Just watch.
Nope.
How can you be so negative?
They're going to sweep. They're on a run, baby. Let's do it. It can happen. It can happen.
I hope so.
So you'll have Nola to go on, even if they have an off day. Even if they have the off day, they should have Nola to go on Sunday because he pitched Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
He's pitching every 5 days.
Right, he's got to pitch every 5 days down the stretch, right, Trey?
Yeah, I think they said Kapler said something where the plan was for him that every 5 days he'll be pitching.
Okay, good, because I hadn't seen that, and I know that they have an odd week where you have 2 days off. But then I read today, after this, after Thursday, after tomorrow, they play 36 games in 38 or 9 days. Mm. So they go on a real roll. So Nola, if he goes every 5 days, it looks like he'll get you 8 more starts this season.
Right. I think they say that the way they have it timed out is if he'll be available for the last game of the year if needed.
So is that – all right. So they need the last game of the year. He goes out. He wins it. They make the wild card. You play a playoff game the next day. Who the hell are you throwing out as your starting pitcher the next day?
I don't know.
Cross that bridge when you get to it,
let's
right?
Just get there.
Yeah. So Phillies in Boston again tonight. Drew Smyly on the mound.
Woo!
Looking to get that 2-game sweep up in Beantown.
Do work, Smyly. Do work.
There it is.
I mean, it's Ricky Porcello. You can beat him.
Porcello, you can beat him. Sure. Yeah. I'm sure the Red Sox are saying Smyly. Yeah, you can beat him.
I mean, they have the superior lineup.
Your bullpen didn't get taxed last night at all.
I feel
and
a
theirs
win.
Did.
And theirs did. You're right. Theirs did a little bit because Johnson was bad
out by
early.
What, the third.
Yeah. So no, I think he went a little bit. To tell you,
no,
the
I
truth.
Think I think it was after the third inning.
Oh, it was. Yeah, yeah. He got into the third inning, 3 1/3 or whatever. So yeah, so their bullpen's taxed. You got Drew Smyly going tonight. Maybe you get that 2-game sweep that Jamie predicted of the Red Sox. Day off tomorrow. Get down to Florida, to Miami, and see what they can do down there. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 940.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic. What they do, they smile
in your face. All the time they want to take your place, them backstabbers.
This is the OJs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are they local?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I know they were big in Philly. They might not be. Yeah, Philadelphia International Records.
They are.
So hold on, let me... They're from Canton, Ohio. That's pretty random.
Okay.
I guess they were big in Philly.
They record here,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Okay, this was the place to come to record back in those days.
They were at the forefront of Philadelphia Stole with Backstabbers in 1972. Yeah, so I think they made it big here.
Made it big here?
But from Ohio.
A lot of people did. What they do. Can't beat this track.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2005.
Oh, blocked you again. You can't throw anything over me without me trying to block it. So just a reminder, Saturday, don't forget, FanFest 2019, exclusively presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right, this Saturday at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5. You know who's going to be there. Allen Iverson, appearing courtesy of Time After Time Watches. Time After Time keeps Philly ticking. Tobias Harris. Tobias is courtesy of Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro by T-Mobile now and take advantage of the best deal in wireless only at Metro. And DeSean Jackson will be there also. So it's going to be a great time. The weather's supposed to be perfect. Something around 78, 80 and sunny. Jamie and Andrew Salchunas will be on the air down there from 10 to 12 o'clock. So come on down early. I know a lot of people have told us that they're coming down and tailgating. And it's just a great, great time. So we'll all be there. Can't wait to interact with everybody, see everybody. So many events that will be available. We'll let you know all about them all throughout the today and tomorrow and Friday. And you guys, you're golfing Friday in mm-hmm. you know, before FanFest. And where mm-hmm. are you playing?
Manufacturers over in, like, Upper Dublin, Flowertown.
And you have some history about the golf course, James, huh?
Yeah, I was reading it yesterday. Washington had his troops stationed there before they headed to Valley Forge for the winter.
Really?
Yeah, like literally in that place. I think they protected it as they kept their a lot of the supplies there, and they protected it there.
Wow.
Having the time of his life.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, anytime you walk in, like, the forefathers' footsteps, it's always, like...
Why would they set up at a golf course, though?
Yeah. I guess George wanted
you know
to get
somebody out there saying, why were they on a golf course?
I guess George wanted to get a couple par threes in before attacking the British on Christmas Eve.
Man. You got to work on your game. You
got to work on your game. Before it's like you watching a notebook before a game, Trey.
Mm-hmm. Go out and get your couple before nine.
That's right. You got to make sure you do that. So, well, good luck to you guys.
Positive
on Friday.
Thoughts only.
That's right.
Yeah, we're not letting that negativity enter our brain.
Nah, you know, you go out on the course with positive thoughts, but you don't always leave it with it. That's the problem about
golf.
Yeah,
it's a tricky game like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jamie was out at – he was our eyewitness out at training camp yesterday in the – it's I guess it's no longer training camp. They've officially broken training camp.
Yeah, that was the last day I think the public's allowed in.
Yeah, yeah. No more media?
I don't think so. I think
Sam had that in her updates, right?
Yeah,
no more media?
I was talking to one of the guys yesterday, and they were like, yeah, last day, 18 straight days, you know, and this is the last day we're allowed in or something.
I hear
like
that, Trey. They're talking about the grind, the media guys.
Well, Jimmy Kemsky did say, I was like, damn, dude, it's hot out here. And he was like, yeah, I have to remind myself all the time that these guys are out here for 2.5 hours in pads. I'm writing notes down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, it's hot.
You were complaining that you had to go home yesterday and the back of your shirt was wet.
Well, Addie just thought I was nasty. She was like, please change it.
That's not had nothing
sweat.
To do with your shirt, I'm sure. So, Eagles tomorrow night against the Baltimore Ravens. Today's just a walkthrough, right, Trey? That's all they'll do today? Nothing major?
Yeah, nothing major. Just getting ready to, go through a couple of things. Probably a 10-10-10. Nothing too crazy.
Okay.
And go through the progression of it. Make sure you have all the different personnel packages set up. You know, and just, you know, do a little window dressing.
Somebody tweeted in this morning a little bit of a sighting. Old Harbs. Coach Harbs was at City Fitness in Center City, working out first thing this morning.
How about that?
And determination of the Harbaugh family. Probably drinking some milk before he went.
Good on him. Nothing wrong with that.
He's a little bit of a meat.
Yeah, I think that whole family is kind of meaty. Yeah, they're different. He's getting it done down there.
Big
it's amazing
year for
how
his
long
brother.
He's been. Yeah, it is huge.
Yeah,
that's a guy that's been on the bubble pretty much his whole career, right?
Kind of. I mean, he's got to get some big quality wins at Michigan. You know,
they don't like losing to who they've been losing to since he's been there.
He hasn't beaten Ohio State yet.
So exactly.
That'll be fun.
Yes, yes. So you got the Eagles tomorrow night. Next time we'll get to see them against Baltimore. Phillies tonight up in Boston. Finish up a 2-game series. So we'll close out the show now with our takeaways of the day, and we're going to start with the lovely Sam Wilson. Sam, what's your takeaway of the day? You got to turn the mic on. It works better that way.
My takeaway of the day is that I agree with Jamie from earlier. I totally see the Phillies winning tonight and impressing us with a series win against the Red Sox, but then tanking completely this weekend in
Miami.
So your
takeaway of the day is a downer. Way to go, Sam.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Pat Egan, what's your takeaway of the day?
It was my fault that the mic was down.
Okay, give us
Pat.
Can we do some positives here?
Give me a good takeaway of the day. My takeaway of the day is Trey's music reminded me that it is indeed hump day.
Hump day.
There you go. Do what you got to do.
Grab some blue chew. Have some fun.
My takeaway of the day is after seeing Carson Wentz yesterday, I do feel much better about him not getting any preseason work at all.
Really?
I think he's ready to go. Yeah.
Wow. No, I think you're just scared.
There is some of that, but no. He's ready to go.
I like how you man up to it all the time. I try to get you on it. Jamie, stop being scared. And you're like, no, I am. That's all right. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Trey, what do you got? Takeaway of the day.
Wow, man. Dad, this was for you. I really enjoyed that playlist. It reminded me of Saturday mornings, waking up with my parent, with my dad, just bumping some of his music.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And you're going to see your dad this weekend, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm going to see them on the weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool. My takeaway of the day, as I told you, today would have been the 83rd birthday of one Wilt Chamberlain. So many records that he had, 72 NBA records, 68 by himself. But my most impressive one of those records, how about 1 year he averaged over 48 minutes a game? That's right, played every minute of every game, including overtime. He averaged over 48 minutes. And here's one I'll give you. Michael Jordan did this 39 times. Kobe Bryant did it 26. That's right. They scored 50 or more points in a game that many times. 39 times, Michael Jordan. Well, Wilt Chamberlain did it 45 times in one season. That's how dominant he was. Wilt Chamberlain, happy birthday to the now deceased Wilt Chamberlain.
And that's why he bagged 10,000.
That's right. Martinez and Gargano and Martinez coming up next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Fanatic time, 9:54.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.